Well, let's just bring in some more about toxicity. Actually, I'm seeing some really cool stuff going on in the chat room, a lot of interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. I did see one question in here, and actually we have it on our list here. And maybe, Joyce, you can comment on this, which someone brought up the issue of MDS and AML. And we know that even though PARP inhibitors are oral agents, they are messing around with the DNA, if you want to put it from that point of view. And we're just beginning to understand whether or not this actually does increase this risk. Joyce, any comments on that?
Yeah, there is a small increased risk over time, a cumulative effect of any DNA damage agent, you know, whether it be a topoisomerase inhibitor, platinum agent, PARP inhibitor. In breast cancer, our patients receive generally all of those. So it can be quite the cumulative, you know, toxicity over time. And then the metastatic setting, if they do well with platinum and PARP inhibitors, they may be on them for quite a period of time. And in the clinical trials, there's a very low risk of secondary AML or MDS, as there is in general with breast cancer. I have seen a paper that suggested that doxorubicin-related marrow toxicity with regard to AML or MDS may be more enriched in patients with a germline BRCA mutation. You know, maybe suggesting that even though there is a normal allele in every cell in the marrow, that under the cumulative insult over time of cumulative toxicity and heavy DNA damage, that having one allele missing may have a kind of a gene dose effect or something. So I think we really still don't know, but yes, there is a low risk. I will tell you that I don't know how my colleagues feel, but when I start getting to a couple of years in the metastatic setting with a platinum or patients doing well on a PARP inhibitor, I start to give consideration about whether that woman might actually be cured, because we actually do cure a small percentage of those patients. And I usually have ended up stopping more so with platinum, but I haven't had the opportunity too much yet in with a PARP inhibitor, but it crosses my mind.
So we'll see how that plays out with the other people on the panel tonight. But I just want to go back to the issue of toxicity and put this question out to the people attending here. This is a poll question we want you to answer, whether you agree or disagree or maybe don't know about this statement. Here's the statement. GI side effects and cytopenias are class effects of PARP inhibitors, but the frequency vary among available agents. And I think this is really one of the most important things that we want to get into tonight. That in general, there's a lot of similarity between the problems that you see. There's different variables, sometimes different patients. You're going to see that in some of these cases. But Gretchen, here's a slide that we put together. You all can take a look at it at your leisure in the future, but it looks like most people agree with that statement we made, incidentally, in terms of, you know, some of how the data plays out. I'm just kind of curious. So we know in breast cancer, two of these agents are approved, olaparib and talazoparib. Just kind of curious, you're sort of moving beyond the data, Gretchen, what your experience is with the two in terms of tolerability. You see any difference at all?
In terms of the two medications, the olaparib and talazoparib, the side effect profile appears to be the same for the handful of patients that we had on both medications. I do see that the hair loss is most common, or I've seen mostly on patients on talazoparib than on olaparib. But in terms of anemia, fatigue, the nausea, it appears to be similar for both medications. Although, of course, the effects or the grading of how it is for some patients may be greater than others.